Another message from God's Word. This is the Matthew, the 5th chapter, which is a very powerful chapter. Jesus is telling us what real righteousness is and crimes against humanity. And so we're going to go there, and we're going to start with chapter 5, verse number 21. Jesus is talking to his church. It is in existence. And he's telling them some hard statements. This is really hard statements. Matthew 5 is a hard chapter. Much misunderstood. Much overemphasized in some ways that are not the Lord's, but people's. You have heard the ancients say, the fathers, the old manuscripts, say, you shall not commit murder. This is murder. It's not killing, but it's not thou shall not kill. It is thou shall not commit a murder. And actually in Hebrew it says thou shall not keep on committing murder. You shall not keep on committing murder. You shall not keep on committing murder, and whosoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. The court, we're talking about the Sanhedrin. You shall not commit, you shall not keep on committing murder. I'm taking this right straight from the Hebrew. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother without shall be guilty before the court, and whoever shall say to his brother, Raka, that means damn you, is what Raka means, damn you. You want to damn him, you want him to go to hell. You shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. Now, that is before the court of God over here in the Great White Throne Judgment. Because these are lost people. You shall be guilty before the Supreme Court, the Great White Throne Judgment, and whosoever say, you fool. Now, that word, you fool, there, that means someone that doesn't have the sense to believe. Let's put it that way. It doesn't have the sense to believe. You shall be guilty enough to go into the hell fire. And we're talking about the court, the final judgment over here, the Great White Throne Judgment. We're talking about the Great White Throne Judgment. And if you therefore are presenting your offering at the altar, and therefore remember that your brother has something against you, you're guilty of something. You're guilty of something. And you're taking your altar to God, and you're guilty of something. Leave your offering before the altar and go your way first to be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering. You've done something wrong? Take care of that wrong that you've done before you come to the house of God and present your offering. It said, make friends quickly with your opponent at law. Now I talked about going to court. Make friends quickly with your opponent at law while you are on the way to the court, in order that your opponent may not deliver you to the judge. Now, again, you're guilty, aren't you? You're guilty of all this. This is a crime against humanity. Now, straighten this crime out before you have to go to court. And the judge to the officer and you be thrown into prison. A child of God in a church, especially, that has committed crimes against somebody else, you should straighten that out. If you committed something that you could even be guilty of in a court, a human court, take care of it before you have to go to court. Straighten it out. Make amends. Remember what Zacchaeus did? Lord, I have cheated. Anyone that I've cheated, yes, I have cheated. Everyone that I have cheated and stolen from, I will repay double and triple fold, etc., etc., etc. He had repented, and he's asking the Lord to forgive him. And he's saying, I'm going to straighten all this out. And this is what he's going to do. Truly, I say to you, you shall not come out of there until you have paid up the last cent. The last cent. The last mite. If you go to court, before you take care of this problem, you're going to have to pay. Absolutely pay. You've heard it is said that you shall not commit adultery. Now, Jesus is after the Pharisees now. Oh, they said, well, we don't commit adultery. We don't commit adultery. We got four or five wives, but we don't commit adultery. If we have a wife that we don't like and we don't want to support anymore, we'll divorce her for whatever reason, and we'll get us another new one, a fresh wife. We'll get rid of the old one. Now, Jesus is looking at them. I say to you that everyone who looks upon a woman to lust for her is committed adultery with her already in his heart. He's committed adultery already in his heart. Now, you Pharisees out there, you're wanting to dump a wife or add another wife and you start lusting after this woman, you committed adultery with her already. Don't come at me and tell me how many times a week you fast and you tithe and you even tithe out of your vegetable gardens at home. Don't tell me that. And if your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you. For it is better that one of the parts of your body perish than that your whole body to be thrown into hell. Hard words, huh? Hard words. If your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off and throw it away from you. For it is better that one of your parts of your body perish than that your whole body be going into hell. If you're a thief, you're a liar, you're a cheat. This really is good business practices that he's talking about here. It was said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of dismissal. Let her give him a certificate of dismissal. She can go marry somebody else. That's what it says. That's what their law said. That's what their Mishnah and Talmud said. But I say to you, everyone who divorces his wife except for the cause of unchastity, for adultery. Now, this is a man divorcing his wife. Because his wife, now, he turns her loose. And she goes out, he's unhappy with the way she cooks or snores in her sleep or whatever. He's decided to get rid of her now. And then he's going to give her a certificate of divorce so she can go marry somebody else. He makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. And you heard it say that the ancients were told that you shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. These men were dumping their wives and making their wives commit adultery because a woman had to depend upon a man for her literal survival. It says you are making these women go out and commit adultery. And it says you shall not make false vows. You shall not lie, is what it's saying here. You shall not tell somebody you're going to do this and not do it. But I say to you, make an oath at all, either by heaven or by the throne of God. You don't swear by heaven or by the throne of God. The Quakers wouldn't do that. The Baptists wouldn't do this in times of old. The Mennonites. We're talking about blood oaths, to the death, or by the earth, or by the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, or for the city of the great king. Nor shall you make an oath by your head, or you cannot make one hair white or black. Don't swear by your life, by your head. You're nothing. You may not live tomorrow. You may not live through today. But let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no, and anything beyond that is evil. You've heard that it said an eye for an eye and tooth for tooth. But I say to you, do not resist him who is evil, but whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn him the other day. Did Jesus do that? Did Jesus do this when these criminal Pharisees and unrighteous people came to arrest him and they slapped him? And say who said, tell us who did that. If anyone wants to sue you, take your shirt, let him have your coat also. This is talking about church relationship now. Church relationship. Church relationship. We're not talking about the outside world. We're talking about church relationship. Whoever shall force you to go 1 mile, go with him two. Now, the court, in the Roman government time, if they asked you to borrow your horse and borrow it for a mile, or you had to carry them in your cart or whatever, you would take them 2 miles. Be more than complimentary. Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. Church relationship. Church relationship over and over again. You heard that it is said that you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That's the mission of the Talmud. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And I'm going to tell you something, that happens in church. It happened to me. I'm sure if you've been in church for very long, it's going to happen to you. In order that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, he who causes his son to rise upon the evil and upon the good, and sends rain upon the righteous and the unrighteous. The word there, unrighteous, are whoremongers and unjust people, poneros, that evil. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax gatherers do the same thing as tax collectors? Didn't even Zacchaeus, didn't even Matthew do this? Matthew's writing this, remember now. This probably hits home with Matthew. If you greet your brothers only, what do you do more than the others? Do you not even the Gentiles do the same? The heathens. Therefore you are to be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. You shall be full. You shall be full. You shall be mature. Why do you study the Word of God? The Word of God makes you able to stand. I preached a message one time, and a woman asked me about hell. She said, I want to know everything about hell there is in the Bible. I spent a whole hour telling her about that. And I used this chart up here, and I went to Sheol and Hades. I went to the Great White Throne Judgment, and I went to the eternal hellfire, and etc., etc. I went to the path of Satan, Isaiah 14, 12 through 15, and Job, and all that. Satan, how that he has deceived the nations and everything. And when I got through, and I stepped down and turned the recorders off and everything, a guy come up, was a visitor in the church, and he said, why did you have to do that? We don't know anything. We don't need to know anything about that at all. All we need to do is preach about Jesus. I said, stuff like this, things that you don't need to know, is what keeps your church, your children in church, and keeps them from going Mormonism and Jehovah's Witnesses and Catholicism. You teach them the truth, and they will be vaccinated against error. You need to know the Bible. The Bible is a necessary book. Why in the world did God give us this Bible if we don't need to study it? The whole Word of God, the whole counsel of God, we need to study it. Our Father, we send this message out that you might honor and glorify it. Touch our hearts with it, convict our hearts with it. Use it to bring people to you and to correct your people, to love your people, to let them know what right and wrong is and how they're supposed to teach one another in church and in the world too. Father, please forgive me where I fail you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.